Father, thank you that we can come and worship you freely as we reflect on Memorial Day. Help us to be grateful, Lord. Help us to be grateful for the men and women who have gone before us, who laid down their lives so that we could experience this freedom in this country, to worship you, to think the way we want to think, to have a freedom of conscience and a freedom of voice, and this freedom of religion, this freedom of worship, so we can actually take the gospel to all the places that we go. Lord, help us to always be a grateful people and realize that we stand on the shoulders of giants. We have what we have because of those who've gone before us. And ultimately, we have what we have because all of those men and women, they were reflecting your image, your character, ultimately the character of Christ, whether they knew it or not. And so, Lord, as we continue to journey through the Gospel of Luke, I pray that I will decrease so Christ may increase. I pray that you will transform us and change us through the preaching of your word. Help us to be grateful for all that our fellow humanity has done for us, and help us to be grateful every moment of every day for all that you've done for us through Christ Jesus. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. My wife has fostered in me a great love of going to the theater. When we first met, she was like, oh, we got to go see this in the theater. I was at that point like, nah, like if it's a big movie and I can't wait for it, like then, yeah, you go to the theater. But if it's not, like you don't go to the theater for that because it costs a lot of money, right? And that by the time you pay for your ticket, and if it's on a date, her ticket, and you pay for all the popcorn and the candy and the drinks and all that stuff, like you can just go out and buy the VHS when it comes out, or, you know, or the DVD or the Blu-ray or the digital copy, which comes out before the DVD now. I don't know. But you can just go buy it, right? And then you have it forever and you can watch it many times and you own the thing and you have your leisure and you can watch it in the comfort of your own home and you can have, you don't have to worry about smuggling in snacks into the theater and you don't have to worry about taking a second mortgage out on your house to buy the snacks in the theater, right? Like all that stuff. So I'm like trying to convince her and she's like, no, you're wrong. There's a whole experience when you go to the theater and it's worth the price. It's worth the cost. And you know what? She was right. She really was. Because I know whenever I'm at home and I'm watching something on DVD or streaming or whatever, because DVD, it's too much work to pick up the DVD and put it, like it's a lot of work, right? That's streaming, right? I just have to click a button. But when I'm watching something at home and I'm streaming, you know what? I'm totally distracted. I don't want to be, but I find that I am, right? So I'm over here and I'm on the phone or someone's texting me. So I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I don't do that in the theater. Or the kids are upstairs and they're like, I'm awake and I need a drink, please. I'm parched to the point of death. All right, pause it, right? Or, oh, we got to go get more popcorn, pause it and go and see it. And then you're out of the movie. But when you're in the theater, oh, it's surrounded in this experience. When I'm at home and I'm somewhat distracted and I'm trying to pay attention, movies are a visual medium, right? You can get about 85% of everything when you're listening, but then there's that look or that glance. And every so often my wife will be like, oh, did you see that? And I'm like, no. Yeah, I saw it, right? I lie. I lie to my wife because I'm like, yeah, you didn't just see what I was doing. Yeah, of course I saw that. I have no concept. And if you're not watching at the right moment, It ruins the whole story of the movie. It ruins the whole experience because you've missed a key detail. And then you come, well, that was a movie. Yeah, it didn't make any sense because you weren't watching it. That's your problem, not the movie's problem. Come on now, right? So if you're not watching a visual medium and you're not surrounded by the experience, it takes away from it. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it can ruin the entire experience because you've missed something that's important. Well, the same thing is true for the Word of God, for the Bible, for the gospel. If we're not listening to it, if we're not heeding it, if we're not paying attention to it in the right way, if we miss something that's key, it could ruin the whole experience for us. More than that, not all the time, but if we're missing something from it, if we tuned it out, it could ruin our entire lives. Why should we be careful how we listen to the Word of God? The context of this, Jesus was teaching the parable of the sowers. And at some point, we're not sure the time frame exactly, but the way Luke puts it in is maybe Jesus was teaching this to a large crowd. And then it's almost like, Luke doesn't say it, but it's almost like Jesus then turns to his disciples, or he goes into a home and turns to his disciples, the people, the large crowds that were following him and were saying, I'm a follower of Jesus now. And he turns to them and says, don't think that you are the seed that took root and grew and bore fruit. Don't think that just because you're following me around Galilee and you're following me around Judea, don't think that you're on the inside. Be careful. You might not actually be one of my disciples. And so it's within that context that Dr. Luke records this this portion of text. Read along with me in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 16. He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and brought to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not meet with him because of the crowd. He was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. But he replied to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. So Jesus he turns to them and he just rolls right into this metaphor. And he says, look, no one lights a lamp and then hides it. That's totally against the purpose of a lamp. So a lamp back then, and I didn't time this, so God's providence, right? They're thinking like an Aladdin lamp, right? I know we see an Aladdin lamp and immediately we think, oh, a genie, a magical genie. But the way it worked is you'd take the top off, you'd pour oil into it, you put the top back on, and then you'd light that little portion where Robin Williams who is it now? Will Smith, thank you. How did I forget that? My Fresh Prince of Bel-Air cred is just down the toilet. And Will Smith or one of them comes out of that end. Well, that's the end you actually light, and that's where the light comes out of. Right? And so you have this oil lamp. And Jesus says, you don't put the oil in there and then light it and say, oh, I hope nobody sees this. Let me hide this. Nobody in the history of the world lights a lamp and then tries to hide it. That doesn't make any sense. That's bizarre. And so Jesus' disciples are like, uh-huh, yeah, where are you going with this? We're not sure. And Jesus says, because no one conceals light once it's lit. And anything concealed is going to be revealed. And nothing hidden won't be known, be made known and brought to light. And they're like, yeah, we're following you, Jesus. You'll light a lamp for people to see it. Gotcha. What's the point? And he cautions them, take care how you listen. How you listen to the word of God. How you listen to Jesus' words. Take care how you listen. Uh-huh, I'm listening. I hear you. What do you mean how you listen? I heard you. There was a physiological thing that happened. I heard the words that you said. I'm processing them. I'm understanding. I don't know how. There's only one kind of listening. I heard you or I didn't. We're not children who said, well, I didn't hear you. Yes, you did. You just didn't want to do it, right? What do you mean how you listen? And Jesus said, he has a caution. For whoever has, if you've listened correctly, more will be given to that person. Okay? And whoever does not have, if you've listened incorrectly, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. You might lose out. Ooh. And then as Jesus is teaching in God's providence, his mother and brothers are out trying to get into the house or home or synagogue, wherever he's teaching. They're trying to get in. And they say, oh, your mother and brothers are outside. And Jesus pivots. And he takes that as a moment while they interrupt his preaching to use that as a teachable moment. And he says, look in verse 21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear and do. So it's the ones who listen to the word of God and do the word of God. It's not just the ones who, yep, I understand what he said. I understand all the words that came out of your mouth, and I disagree. It's not the ones who say, okay, I understand this information about Jesus. I understand your perspective now. He says, no, it's the ones who hear the words out of my mouth, who hear the gospel, who hear the word of God, and they act on it. They do it. Those are my mothers and brothers. Those are the ones who belong into my family. Those are my true disciples. Those are my true followers. Why should we be careful how we listen to the Word of God? We should be careful how we listen to the Word of God, because only those who do the Word of God belong to the family of Jesus. Only those who act on the Word of God belong into the family of Jesus. He says it's not just a knowledge thing. It's not just knowing facts about Jesus. It's not just knowing scripture verses and quoting them back to you. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to hear the gospel, and you have to act on it. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Repent of your sins, and you will be saved. You have to act on it, Jesus says. You have to act on it, otherwise you don't belong into the family of God. You might know things about God, but you don't actually know God. And so he says, be careful. Those of you who have listened and acted upon the gospel, you've trusted in Jesus, I'll give even more to you. He gives you adoption into God's family. He gives you an inheritance in the new heaven and the new earth. He gives you the Holy Spirit, who lives within you and never leaves you. He says, but the one who think that they have, the ones that think that they heard, yeah, I know all that stuff. He said, if you haven't acted upon the Word of God, if you haven't listened, if you haven't trusted in me, if you haven't entered into a relationship with Jesus, what you think you have will be taken away. It'll ruin your life. You were not listening correctly. The image Jesus paints us is kind of like this. How many of you still get an actual physical paycheck? How many of you still get a paycheck? No one? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Like the first service, it was only employees of the Orchard Church who raised their hands. But, you know, a few of you still get a physical paycheck. What's the first thing you do when you get your paycheck? Yeah, go to the bank. Or, you know, if you're in modern times, you're like, snap, you know, sign the thing, snap, and, you know, and there it is. You've got it. How many of you have ever gotten a check in the mail, like a gift? Not something you earned, just someone gave you a check in the mail. That was a gift. Isn't that great? So good. Love it. What do you do when you get that check? What's the first thing you do? Yeah, go to the bank. Yeah, if you're really, I'm disappointed none of you said this. Our representatives from the South, you should have said, write a thank you note and then. But no, the first thing you do, you deposit the check. Nobody gets this check and goes, oh, wow, this is so cool. I'm going to file this away, right? No one says, oh, I'm just going to frame it. I'm not even going to deposit it. I'm just going to frame it on my wall so that I know how thoughtful they were of me, that they were going to give me the check. No one does that. No one does that. We want that money. We need it. It was so nice that they did that. It would be wrong. It would be a slap in the face, really, not to deposit it immediately. We deposit the check. The gospel is the same way. You hear the gospel of Jesus, and we need to respond. You don't hear, Jesus is saying, you know, no one takes a light and lights it on fire and then hides it away. If you lit a lamp, you want to see with it. You have a reason and a purpose for that light. You don't hide it. In the same way, if you've received the true gospel, if you've received the Word of God, no one tries to hide it. No one just tries to dissect it and turn it into this intellectual endeavor. No, you do something with it. In the gospel, you trust and you follow Jesus. If you just say, well, yeah, I know all that stuff. No, that's not listening correctly. That's just knowing things. That's not following Christ. No one gets a check and says, oh, okay, I'll just put this away here. No, that doesn't work like that. Imagine that someone gifted you something, and it was a brand new TV, right? Someone gifted you a brand new TV. What do you do with the brand new TV? By the way, this is not Oprah. No one's getting this today. So, like, we ain't that kind of church. So nobody get excited. But if someone gifted you a brand new TV, what do you do with it? put it up, unbox it, and put it up, right? No one goes and like, ooh, this is cool. I'm going to learn all the stats on this, go online, read the manual on there so you don't have to open up the box and break its pristine packaging, right? Like, you just, it's factory sealed seal. I'm going to learn about all the DPI and like the blackness levels and the HDMI stuff. I'm going to learn everything about it. And people come over like, hey, man, you got to see my TV. Oh, cool, right? Like, I always, yeah, check out my TV. And you pull this down in the box in the garage. Look at my TV. Isn't this cool? And you tell them all about it. And they're like, how long have you had that? Oh, I've had it for 6 months. It was a gift to me. Well, are you ever going to open it? No, I want it pristine, perfect in its box. What do you do with a TV? Put it up. Oh, well, I already have a TV. Well, if it's better than your TV, what do you do? Put a new TV. Well, I've already got a better TV. Just put it somewhere. Put it in the garage. You put the TV up. You don't just like, oh, whatever. That's the image Jesus has given us here. He's like, you've been given the word of God. It's life-changing. It's transforming. It's going to do something within you. You can't help it. It's this free gift. And we know salvation is a free gift from Jesus. He came and bled and died for us and rose again for anyone who would trust and believe in him will have eternal life. We know it's a free gift, but if you accept that free gift, it's going to do something within you. No one lights a lamp and then tries to hide it. No one receives the gospel and goes through life unchanged. So Jesus says, be careful how you listen to the word of God. Be careful how you listen, because only those who do the word of God, who act on the word of God, belong to the family of Jesus. Some of you in this room, my theological friends, are like, well, wait a minute, but there are prepositional truths in Christianity. There are truth claims in Christianity, right? Like, we have to say, yeah, we believe that Jesus is both God and man. We have to say that we believe that there is one God who eternally exists in three persons, the Father, Son, and Spirit. We believe that salvation is through faith alone. It's only through our trust. It's only through and it's through God's grace alone that we're saved, not through our work, right? So there's intellectual things. There's truth claims, and we have to look at that. That's true. There are truth claims to Christianity, and that's part of what doing the Word of God or acting on the Word of God is believing that these things are true. But Christianity is more than just intellectual knowledge. I mean, Satan knows theology better than the rest of us. He's seen God face to face. He had a boxing match with Jesus out in the wilderness. He lost, but he knows him, right? I've never wrestled with God physically. I've never seen Jesus face to face. Ah, Satan, he has tons of information. He knows the word of God better than you and I. But he doesn't trust, he doesn't act on it, he acts against it. And so Jesus is saying, look, you need to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Jesus' image is no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. The image Jesus gives us here is kind of like this. You have a light. I love this lamp. This lamp is phenomenal. My wife doesn't like it. I don't know why. It changes rooms all the time. In fact, I took this out on Friday. I brought it over here to the church. She hasn't noticed it until she walked into the sanctuary and was like, oh, that's our light, right? You didn't know it was gone. Yeah, see, like, she doesn't like it at all. It's a cool light. It's one of my favorites. Anyways, so this lampstand is you. This is you. And this light bulb is like the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel comes, and we put it in, and it lights up our life, and it illuminates everything. And the image Jesus is giving us here, he says, no one does this. No one takes a light bulb and says, well, I'm going to put $8 worth of duct tape around this thing, black duct tape, to make sure that no light gets out of it. And so I'm just going to tape this thing up real good. This is about $8 of duct tape that I'm doing here for your benefit so we can see Jesus' image here. Nobody does this. Do you know anybody who duct tapes their light bulbs? Have you ever seen that in the history of humanity? Anyone ever duct tape their light bulb shut so that no light can come out of it? And then they take it and screw it back in And they're like, has anyone ever done that with you before? Have you ever seen anybody do that before? That's insane. So Jesus is saying, look, if you've heard the word of God and it hasn't started to transform you, you haven't received it. You weren't listening. You don't believe. You haven't followed. Because this is not something that people do. You don't receive the word of God and then nothing happens. Again, we believe that we are saved through faith, through trusting Jesus alone. It's not by our works. But once you do believe in Jesus, once you have trusted in him for your salvation, something happens. God gives you a new heart. He starts to transform you from the inside out. God, the Holy Spirit, starts to change you. And if this is your situation, you haven't really received the gospel, because nobody actually receives the gospel and then is like, and then duct tapes the light shut. It doesn't make any sense. We need to be careful how we listen to the word of God. Because only those who do the word of God, only those who act upon the word of God belong to Jesus' family. I know in America, and I've heard this, and some of you have said this too, and it's a nice thing to say. You have maybe older kids, and their teenage friends come over all the time, and they're over there. They eat your food. They hang out with you all the time. They sleep over, and so you say, "Wow, that's like my other son," or "That's like we love them like a daughter," right? And that's a nice sentiment. It is a very nice sentiment, but it is just a sentiment. Right? Like, you're not bringing them on all your family vacations. You're not bringing them to all every family wedding you have to go to that you don't want to go to. You're not bringing them to every funeral that you have to go to. You're not claiming them on your taxes because that's illegal. Right? It's a nice sentiment, and it's beautiful, but it's just a sentiment. At the end of the day, they still have their own family. You haven't adopted them or anything like that. It's just a sentiment. And I think that's where many of us are today, where we have this sentimentality of, I like that Jesus. He's nice. I know lots of things about Jesus. I know all sorts of information and data about Jesus. I can tell you how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Trust in that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. You'll be saved. That's it. You can tell me all that. You can quote all of the scriptures. But there hasn't been this relational thing that's happened. You know the information, but you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in Jesus. You have information about Jesus. You don't have relationship with Jesus. And it's a nice sentiment. Man, I love Jesus. He tells you to love your enemies. He tells you to love your neighbor. Pray for those who persecute you. I love Jesus so much. But you haven't really trusted him. You haven't taken yourself off the throne of your life and said, no, you know what, Jesus? I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let you run my life. If that means changing who I date, I will trust you. If that means changing how I spend my money, I will trust you. If that means changing how I relate to my children and how I relate to my parents and how I relate to those family members who don't deserve it and I can't stand and frankly hate, then I'll do it. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Now, the good news is, if you're here and you're like, you know what? I know lots of things about Jesus. I'm not really following him. I've heard the word of God. I haven't acted. The good news is simple. Right now, you're convicted. Repent of your arrogance. Repent of your sin. Jesus, I trust in you. And you will be saved. You're welcomed into God's family. Now, for some of you here, the good news is, yeah, you have repented, you've changed, the Word of God has changed you, and some of you are here going like, yeah, but my life isn't perfect, I still sin, I struggle with sin. Guys, the good news is, you're going to struggle with sin until the day you die, until you see Jesus. None of us is sinlessly perfect. You're going to struggle, but as we submit ourselves to the Word, as we submit ourselves to Jesus, He will slowly change us bit by bit, conform us into the likeness of Christ. And sometimes we'll have stumbles back, but the reality is if you know Christ, He's going to change you. And He's going to meet us where we're at. And He's going to mold us. And some of us are further along than others, and that's okay. The good news and the glorious news of the gospel is that you're not perfect, but in Christ you're made perfect. When God the Father looks down on you, He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see my sin. He sees the sinless perfection of Jesus. He sees His righteousness. He sees His goodness. It's unreal. It's beautiful. So be encouraged. If you've responded to the Word of God, be encouraged. Yeah, you struggle with sin. He hasn't given up on you. He still loves you. He cares for you. He's working with you. You need to be careful how you listen to the Word of God. Because only those who do the Word of God belong to the family of Jesus. Make sure that you've heard the gospel, you understand it, but more than just information, more than just facts, repent and believe, follow, enter into a relationship with Jesus. Please, don't tape the light bulbs. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for our congregation. I pray that you will help us to examine our hearts. Some of us grew up in the church and we have lots of facts we know about Jesus. But information does not save us. Trusting in Jesus saves us. I pray for those who are here, Lord, and they are struggling with sin. And they are your children. They have heard the Word of God. They've entered in a relationship with you, but they continue to struggle deeply. I pray, Lord, that you will walk alongside them. I pray, Lord, that they will continue to hear your word, surrender their hearts over to you. I pray, Lord, that we will never be a people who hide our light, duct tape our light bulbs, but instead we will be a people who are grateful that our salvation comes not from works, but from Jesus Christ. And that through that relationship, through that love, our hearts are transformed. And out of the overflow of the heart, our mouths speak. We take action. The glory of the gospel transforms us away from being mere listeners of the word, but doers of the word. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.